Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. We believe small actions can have great impact. Take a small action today. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Drive Time on RTE Radio 1 with Sarah McInerney and Cormac O'Hara.
Now, from the personal sacrifices of frontline workers to the social impact of government restrictions on some of our most vulnerable citizens, we've heard many moving human stories in our COVID-19 coverage this year. In an extended report now, Drive Time's John Cook reflects on some of those moments and the people he won't forget.
I'm so proud of all my colleagues here in the hospital who've responded to all the changes that have been demanded of us.
Catherine Hand is one of the many frontline workers we've met and saluted at hospitals across Ireland battling COVID-19 this year.
We all support each other. We have good days, we have bad days, we cry, we laugh.
Nurses, doctors and other healthcare workers became our frontline heroes in 2020, many putting themselves at risk to protect others.
Of course, none of us want to put ourselves in harm's way. I suppose my bigger worry would be transferring COVID from any patient to any other person. So we are meticulous about putting on the PPE, even though it can be a barrier between us and the patient. And it's hard to make that human connection when you've got a mask and a visor and a gown. But we really work hard at making the connection with the person because that's so important.
Catherine's story from May is one I won't forget, as her redeployed role saw her running the Patient Advocacy Liaison Service at the University Hospital Limerick, where a visiting ban meant she and other staff were the only connection between patients as they facilitated virtual visits to their loved ones by video call on computer tablets. Patients who were lonely, patients who were frail, or people who were dying.
For many patients, we have wonderful calls where we see grandchildren that the person has never yet met or held. We've seen dogs, cats, cattle.
people checking in on the farm.
Checking in on the farm, making sure the stock are all there. And patients maybe, you know, in the stroke ward who haven't really been able to speak, speaking in response to what they can see on the video. It's absolutely wonderful to see their reaction.
Have you been involved in video calls facilitating what might be the last contact between somebody and their family before their death?
Yes, I have. I have been the last person to make contact with a patient, and the families have just said how grateful they are that they had that opportunity to see their loved one, and they treasure those calls after the person has died. Some calls are particularly sad. We do cry, but it's an absolute privilege to be able to be making that contact between the patient and their family. And I know it's what I would want if I found myself in that situation.
Are there some of those calls that stick with you that you think about now? You're brushing a tear away now.
There have been patients where we would have been doing calls, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. You can see the person has been so loved. Then you go to make the next call and they've died. And you're conscious of all those people left behind from this wonderful person who has passed away. So they do affect you, and I won't forget those people.
I was quite nervous at the start because we were obviously looking at the news and seeing what was happening in other countries and hearing about the stories of young people getting the illness and being quite unwell. But thankfully, a lot of our patients that have come into the ward have gotten well and they have gone home. The majority of them go home.
Michelle Lee nursed patients on a COVID ward.
The wearing the PPE is quite hard. It's just to make sure that we introduce ourselves to the patients all the time. We can look the same, you know, to them. We also have linking with our palliative care colleagues when it is required. That is part of our role. It was part of our role before COVID. We still provide comfort to the patients and to their families at this difficult time.
So I go into the ward, if I see a new face on the ward, I'll go over, I'll introduce myself, say hi, my name is Mike, I clean the ward, how are you keeping?
And with hospital hygiene in even greater focus during the pandemic, former Limerick footballer Mike Keogh told me about his role as a cleaner on the COVID ward.
Most patients do bring up the conversation of COVID-19. I try to take a different was a view of it. GA, soccer, rugby, horses, anything they want to talk about, whatever makes them feel comfortable. Please God, there is a majority of people that they have the COVID and they are going home. which is the main thing. But you have to look at the other side of it as well.
You're going home to your wife and your six-year-old daughter, and you have another child on the way, all going well. Do you worry for your own safety, Mike?
At home, no. I'm in my spare bed. Say when my wife is, we're watching television, she's at one side of the living room, I'm at the other side of the living room. Like, I've been in many big situations in my life, sport-wise, and I played many big games as well. But to be part of this, it's special. You're making the patient's life a little easier.
I personally, as a nurse, would hate if COVID came in and that we had to were to lose residents. So that would be very, very difficult for all of us because we're like a family.
The frontline health workers were also in the community and nursing homes, where many deadly clusters happened throughout the pandemic. I met Nurse Mary Burke at Patterson's Nursing Home near Roscrea in County Tipperary.
From the residents' point of view, we've tried not to make too many changes because we've continued to have a very positive approach towards this condition by letting the residents be aware that we ourselves are taking it very seriously and looking after ourselves, and that when we're off duty we isolate. The only place they're really developing the fear is from the television.
Are they watching those figures every day?
They are. Everybody knows their own mortality. But I think it's because it's the unknown, I think they're more frightened about that part of it.
When I turn on the news, I do worry. I say to them, will I be the next to get it? Or is it going to happen to me? I'm an old woman, you know.
Interviewing nursing home residents from a long distance, only through windows, 76-year-old Mary Ryan spoke to me about her fears.
There's so many dying and everything. I feel very lonely about it. Yeah. I'd get to give it care and attention from the carers and the nurses. And I call this my home. And my husband will come in here in the space of a few years when he's not able to look after himself. And we'll live our life out here together in this lovely nursing home.
Now, I understand that Michael comes every day to meet you, but only at the window anymore. Well, yeah. How has that been? Tell us how the visiting restrictions have changed things for yourself.
It's awful because I feel so lonely. I'd like to have a chat with him and have a cup of tea and hold his hand. We were so married for so long. It's very hard on me. I shed a tear when he's going away.
Moved by Mary's story of missing her husband, I travelled to Temple Moor after our window visit to meet Michael outside their home.
Can you tell me, what has it been like trying to look at your wife through the window and just wave to her?
Well, not easy. Not cold, you see, but as long as she saw me and was able to wave, you know, I'd done fine, you know. Yeah, satisfied here, you see.
Do you miss her?
Oh, God, oh, Lord, I miss her knowing. I tell you, when I fall asleep here for maybe half an hour, and I wake up and I have a look over, see Mary asleep. No Mary. That's the time I miss her, terrible. Yeah.
Michael Ryan was home himself cocooning in April, a term many came to loathe, including Kay Murphy, the national president of Active Retirement Ireland, who spoke to me through her front window about some difficult days at home.
I suppose it was a combination of no St. Patrick's Day, no Mother's Day, no Easter, no ceremonies, which we were always used to growing up. And then I think it was about the following Sunday where I just hit rock back at bottom. And that's a human thing, really, you know. I felt very sorry for myself. I didn't get washed. I didn't get dressed. I didn't eat. I did nothing. My Fitbit showed I had about 700 steps for the day. Isn't that shocking? I feel we've been slotted into a category and it's shocking. And whereas I have the best of admiration, really, for our Taoiseach who's making the restrictions, for Dr. Tony Houlihan, some days I wake up and I say, oh, God, is it Monday or Tuesday? You know, that type of lethargy, I suppose you'd call it, really can get into place. And I'm very conscious of our own members.
Bishop Willie, how are you?
I'm good.
I like your sign.
Former Bishop of Killaloe, Willie Walsh, talks to me through a sliding door at the front of his house where a sign informs the public he's following instructions in regard to coronavirus.
So prayer would be a big part of your life, as it is for many people over 70. The government restrictions that have seen churches actually closed, no public masses, the smallest of funerals and in very limited circumstances. What do you make of all that?
The very fact that our churches are closed, I don't hear anybody crying out about it. I think people are managing very well without us being active. There are a lot of people looking in at masses and liturgies on television and that, but there's no question about it. To me, there's more Christian work going on in the community for the past 6 weeks than at normal times, you know, in the sense of neighbour looking after neighbour people and terrific work of our healthcare workers and so on.
Among those acts of neighbourliness were the many community groups, GAA clubs, Gardaí, postal workers and others helping people with shopping and household chores while Meals on Wheels services experienced a surge in demand, as I found out when I accompanied volunteers from Upper Newmarket-on-Fergus in County Clare to the home of Mary O'Halloran from Quinn.
What does the Meals on Wheels service mean to you, so?
It means everything, really. You just feel they're friends. No, that's it. It's just like it. That the news wouldn't it depress you if you were to be listening to it all the time? And I like the radio. At my age, you can't be listening to bad news all the time.
Would you have noticed it though that you wouldn't have visitors or people calling to the house now? Is that tough?
Well, now, the first week or two, I had one day I came out, I had a dozen of fresh eggs left there in the porch. The following week, I had a rhubarb tart and an apple tart and cream to go with them. So I'm not doing too bad.
Sounds like you've good neighbours around here.
I have great neighbours.
And maybe this crisis is bringing out the best in people, is it?
Oh, I'd say it is. Oh, God, it is, yeah.
The cocoon stage passed or wasn't spoken about by government again. And for people who like to get out, maybe for a pint, the much-anticipated reopening of pubs ended up being short-lived because traditional non-food pubs pulled pints again in late September, only to be closed 2 weeks later with Level 3 restrictions also closing down food premises. I spoke to customers in Elitrum pub, McHugh's in Carrick and Shannon, as owner Caroline prepared to close their doors once more in October.
I feel like our family was coming back together. We, you know, it is a kind of a family environment in our bar. Having to tell your customers and 15 staff of this blow again this morning is, yeah, it is. It's utterly devastating.
How are you doing?
Sean Doyle is my name.
Sean, you're enjoying maybe a last pint, is it?
Looks that way. And when we're leaving this evening, I'd say probably Happy Christmas to everyone because it may go on, I think.
You'll miss your friends here.
Absolutely, yeah, of course, yeah. Sure, I will, yeah, yeah. It was grand to come out there a couple of weeks back and come down and have your 3 or 4 pints and relax and go home. And
there'll be quiet autumn nights in now. Do you have anyone at home, Sean?
Unfortunately not, no, no. And my wife died last week.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Sean. I'm so sorry. That's very tough, so.
Yeah, it is, yeah, yeah.
Was your wife sick?
She was, yes.
Okay. I'm very sorry. What does it mean to you to get out and have a pint with your friends here, so?
God, it means an awful lot. It means an awful lot. But to have good friends and good neighbours and all that, you know, it's great to get out and socialise. Mm-hmm. Human being is a social animal.
Yeah. Telling people they can't do that now and having visitor restrictions in your house, that's going to be hard on a lot of people, is it?
Yeah, yeah, but as I said, rules are rules and what can you do? That's the problem all the way. Like, I've seen people there in streets from other counties here in Carrick on a Saturday night, etc., and as if it was a year ago, like, you know, hugging each other, loving each other, etc.
Some people weren't taking it seriously, so.
No, not at all, no.
Leitrim widower Sean Doyle's words struck a chord with many Drive Time listeners this year, as did a final story I recall from covering in June and December. COVID-19 and recognising the heroes of our hospitals were at the core of the story once again, but the subject was a traditional holiday cottage in County Mayo and a €10 raffle ticket to win it. Its owners, a retired doctor and her husband, gave only the names Joan and Patrick. They told Drive Time about feeling lucky to have survived their own frightening experience of coronavirus and wanted to give something back.
How else can I help the people in Ireland? And this is what we decided, that we have this cottage in Mayo, and we decided that we'd raffle it and see if we could raise enough money to help the people who have not been fully recognised before. Many of those people did exactly the same as doctors, nurses.
Ooh.
These are the cleaners, the porters, the kitchen staff, and all those kind of people who, in my view, are not fully recognised in what they do and the risks they put themselves and their families to.
And it gives people an opportunity to say, I support the unsung heroes.
And give them some money?
Cash in their pocket. I mean, it's the only thing you can do.
Patrick and Joan's Mayo Cottage went to a lucky winner from Dublin. Their phenomenally successful raffle raised almost €1 million, which was divided between support staff across Irish hospitals just in time for Christmas, as the couple gave Drive Time the happy ending to this good news story.
You raised almost €1 million, and you're in a position today to hear from the HSE that 10,681 porters, cleaners, orderlies, catering staff, care assistants, mortuary attendants are getting a gift voucher worth €80 for Christmas. So how does that feel?
To us, we're absolutely delighted that we've even got this far, and we have let the unsung heroes understand that we wanted to thank them for all they do.
And I couldn't speak to all of the 10,681 support workers involved, but was delighted to hear of one person getting their voucher today, perhaps Ireland's most famous hospital porter at this stage. John Doyle is the head porter for Children's Health Ireland at Temple Street Hospital in Dublin. And Sarah, I'm sure you remember Adam King from the Late Late Toy Show.
Of course.
Well, John is his hero, and John is known to the nation as Adam King, the future astronaut and Late Late Toy Show star's favourite person. John was busy on the wards this afternoon, but he took a few minutes to tell me first about his newfound fame.
While I may have been catapulted into national stardom, I think each and every healthcare worker provides the same sort of support to all the patients that I do. I was just fortunate enough that Adam's story made it to the Late Late Toy Show, and the fact that I was nominated as one of his top three celebrities in Ireland just was the icing on the cake.
You got a voucher in your hands today and a special note. Tell me what it says, will you?
It says, "This is the portion of the proceeds from the raffle cottage in Mayo. It is part of Ireland saying thank you for your dedication and your effort in keeping us all safe."
And that was hospital porter John Doyle there, one of the many frontline workers you heard in John Cook's report. And our thanks to everyone who has worked so hard to keep people safe and help others during the year of 2020.